Okay, all right, we're testing here. This is,
Do you have to direct this?
Nope, it just sits right
it takes
there.
a picture too?
Nope.
No, what is this?
That just tells me it's running.
Oh.
This is Laurel Tyrell, and I'm here with Jane Williams in her home.
Jane N.
Jane.
I have a daughter, Jane, and okay. We got our bank accounts mixed up once.
Jane N. Williams
Yes.
and Varpu Loto.
Lotovonen.
And it's July 15th, 2010.
Right.
And we've been sitting here chatting about Jane's
the work that has been done that you might be interested in
concerning Central Circle Hot Springs, Miller House,
Circle, and points there. Of around there,
right in between Jane and her
co-worker
Dorothy Wilde,
Wilde, yeah,
did a lot of research on the Circle to Chattanooga Trail. Was that right?
You see, before Fairbanks was established, really, they came down the Yukon to Circle. And then the trails were made, and it's the early Circle City Fairbanks Trail. You don't ever say it the other way, because Circle City was established before Fairbanks.
Right. I also have some specific questions on Central and the history of Central, because Jane is very knowledgeable about the history in Central. Due to her work on the Circle Trail and on
the museum.
You were instrumental in beginning the Circle District Historical Society. Is that correct?
One of the people interested. Wouldn't say I headed it or anything. The first meeting was at our house, but just one. I mean various people, the Warrens, there were just a whole room full of people that were interested.
How did the whole idea of saving the history there begin?
Well, I guess it had been talked about that we should have a place to save all the memorabilia and stuff that Pat had, and Pat Oakes was very instrumental. In fact, she was first president of the society. I think it just evolved from the many things that we were getting and could save, and then let's see, the Galvins were interested, and they built the building, Ed, of the museum. And
he and Frank were head of the building committee, weren't they?
Yes, something like that. I'm not sure, but it was that way. I mean, Ed Gilman was.
But at the time that it came into being, you owned the old Central Roadhouse.
Yes, because we had bought the Riley Homestead, and that old roadhouse was on the homestead.
And when you started the store, you started the store down the street from the old homestead?
Yes, the old corner.
When did you sell to Vi and Frank? Do you remember?
When did I what?
When did you sell? Did you sell to Vi and Frank?
Did we sell? Yes, but I thought maybe there was someone in between that. Well, you'll run across it if it is. But
so,
I remember the Vi and Frank sign.
So you started the store right there at the corner that became Vi and Frank's, and then Crab's Corner, and so on and so on.
But very early, it was the the residence of a government man I forget his name, might come to me later. But then a man here in town who wrote sort of like Dermot Cole for the paper, became the man that suggested that this become this building become a fire center, a place where they could start in with the control of the fire and the whole fire
like department. A fire hall.
But I don't remember him. But we bought with Johnny Birdaw, we bought the corner, the other corner where Krabs had. And later we bought out Johnny Birdaw because he was going to move from the hot springs. And then later we sold the land to Crab. That was a procession there. From then on, I don't know what's happened.
So you started, but you started a store there and ran a store, gas station.
Right. And yes. And really, the revenue was directly related to the Circle Hot Springs. If Circle Hot Springs had a big weekend, we had a big weekend. And mostly, we had a sign on the door, if you need something, just go down the road a little bit to our house and we'll come up and give you the gas or whatever you need, you know, fix your tires. And then the sign said, "Gone fishing, H.O. Williams." But it was, you know, it was fun anyway.
How about floods in that area?
Floods. Well, the last serious flood, and we have some pictures of them trying to keep the road open in front of the roadhouse. That deposited at least 6 to 10 inches of this gooey mud, you know, on the floor of the roadhouse. And it became dangerous to be in there. And so we closed it out. But it ran quite a few years before that.
Are you talking about the store, the corner store?
The roadhouse.
The roadhouse.
Miller
okay.
Roadhouse.
So once...
Somebody has written the whole story of Miller Roadhouse.
You're talking about Miller Roadhouse or the Central House?
Oh, pardon me. Yeah. Catch me up on those words. The Central Roadhouse.
Okay.
Somebody has written it. And it's... I don't know whether it's one of the realtor's daughter here in town. But it occurred, there must be in the archives the story of the Miller House.
Oh, of Miller House, okay.
Yeah, Miller House.
All right, let's go back to floods and the Central Roadhouse.
Okay.
At one time I heard you saying that every year, or I remember you saying, you can correct me, that every year it flooded at the Central Roadhouse there, your old building, the Central House, until the dike was built.
Yes, that's true.
So, do you remember when the dike was built?
No. Pat might have it in her things, but I wasn't there. See, we left, that's my daughter, we would leave there and go teaching in late August, And then we didn't come back till spring, see. So much went on before
while
we
you
came
were gone.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but this was sometime when Pat Oakes was alive then.
Mm-hmm. And there were three people that either lived at the Roadhouse during this time after Riley died and the Roadhouse became ours. And one was this fellow that went to Manly Hot Springs and died. He was he delivered fuel, and I think it was Manly, yeah. And he lived at the Roadhouse. In fact, I think he's the one that cut the one wall so he could get a car in the inside of it. But,
so was he instrumental in building the dike? Or he was living there when the dike was built?
It could have been, but he's gone now. But he was a rover and bachelor, and I know he fixed our tractor the year he was there, and he fixed it for using it, you know. But then after the dike was born, we still got flooded, and the last flood that came clear into our homes, you know, where we had a home, into the lower parts, and that was when all this mud was deposited there.
So that was probably the 67 flood that other people have talked about.
Yes, the big one in Fairbanks, too.
Mm-hmm. So there was one in 67, and there was one in 89 that I have pictures of that wiped out the road there by where you ended up building the forest.
The what?
The trees. You planted all those trees in there.
Oh, yeah, the tree farm.
The tree farm, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the, you know, now, so that must have been 89, 90, 91.
Yeah, I think it was 85.
That you built the
tree farm
there. And
yeah, I think it was around 85.
So how many trees did you put in there?
Oh, we put in thousands, about the size of a cigar. And then the first winter, the rabbits got 90% of them. It was good, fresh stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. They were hungry. And some of the people have cut down some. And then we tried to put in a...
Somebody cut them down for Christmas trees? They are beautiful trees, but...
they ran through with their snow machines through that. We put a sign up, but they had a trail back there. But that's all been changed. Because when the fire came, they dug a ditch behind the homestead, you know, and they also dug a ditch into the land that we gave to the land trust, government land trust,
which is where the trees are.
Well, no, it's across the road,
along
the creek.
Okay,
we gave 77 acres of land to be preserved, no development along the creek. You know, people find a creek and then they build a home, take the wood and all that. So, but we opened it for, if it was an existing road, you can't block that off, you know, and there was an existing road into that 77 acres, which goes almost to Carter's place.
Okay.
Okay. And then, let's see, somebody built a house on the Circle Hot Springs Road, but they used the entry in the winter to go take their stuff over across the frozen river. But that was legal because it was a previous road.
Road.
You can't shut off a trail or a...
So does the 77 acres go behind the state, the DOT there?
It runs to in juxtaposition with Andy Bergson's house.
Okay.
And he had, I think, 5 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one line. But also, the road commission took out a big hunk of that.
Because there also is somebody, private residence, that goes in from behind the DOT. And how they, I don't know what state lottery or whatever they got that land on.
Is that lately?
Pretty lately, yeah.
Because the land trust people go out and keep tab. And if I want to come out one time this summer, and I don't know when it'll be, but I had trouble traveling these days.
Mm-hmm. But how old are you now, Jane?
What's that?
How old are you now?
I'm 95, and it'll be 96 in November.
Well, so travel can be difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a long sit to go out, mm-hmm. and the only reason I'm alive is because I was a mover, and, you know, kept busy all the time. But hopefully, in passing here, I know we're not on that subject, but at one time, I wrote up a grant, and for the museum and the extension of the archives and so forth. And I faxed it to George Hiller, who was the president then. And it was too sudden. It was too much for them, but I guess he passed it around a little bit, but they all voted against it, which is okay. Any new idea, But my idea is that eventually, I don't know how it will happen, that either the Hutchinsons sell their property next to them. It depends on the development of Central, too. Sell the property and use the Hutchinson house as the GAR archives, because you have some rare stuff in that archives. You know, it really is. And then the person that's giving, or the foundation that's giving out money for these things is the Rasmussen Foundation. Have you run across that? There was a very rich banker in Anchorage, left a lot of money, and it's run now by his son, Ed Rasmussen. And each year I get the book of how many grants. The head of the archives of the oral history, Schneider,
mm-hmm.
I think he has one for this year, but he gets them independently from the Matt Rasmussen Foundation. And one of the people on the governing board of this Rasmussen Foundation is Pat Babcock, who spent many years of her life in the mines up at Deadwood. And Pat is, I don't know whether I threw that out or not, but they send a real coverage of who got the things. But there are, you know, there, if it depends on who has an interest in it,
mm-hmm.
and how hard they will work for it. But Pat Babcock, her mother was a regent at the university, secretary of the Presbyterian Church. And she's the one whose mother lived at the Chattanooga Gold Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And she has in her possession the beautiful glass punch bowl that was used in that time. They would party at a house, you know, and even bring the piano over and the glass, the bowl, you know, it's a cut glass bowl. So you just can't change the temperature of it very much, or your clad goes, you know, it shatters.
So how did they?
Well,
she
kept
house
it
house.
In her house. Then her mother died. She just told me this last year. Her mother died, and one of the last things she said, that goes to the Central Museum. Hmm. And I think I told Al about it, that this is available to her. But first, the museum people must in some way assure the temperature of this. And if they do, they keep it warm in the winter.
How did they take it from home to home? If it was so,
the bunch of the miners, they just wanted a party,
and so they'd take the punch bowl with them.
They bring in the piano because there's only one piano out there.
Is that the piano that's at the museum now?
No.
Okay.
There's no piano.
There's an organ.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay, well, that, and the history of that organ is in the files of, and a picture and stuff, and that has an interesting.
But they, you know, the point here is that the miners used to enjoy music and partying, so they would gather at one place or another.
Yeah, and in some way it might have been Pat Babcock's, but anyway, Pat Babcock's mother owned this glass thing. Now, Pat told me last year, it was winter time. The fellows would come in and throw their mittens in the glass bowl rather than have punch. They threw their mittens in there. And for some reason, that was just the custom. But I saw Pat Bobcock's picture in the paper just this last week, because she has become one of the Pioneer Women's Governing Board. Hmm. And she's...
So she came from Deadwood?
Deadwood, you know, where they had a post office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same postmaster at Central, it's there now.
Becky Hendrickson, that's there now, yeah.
She's still there.
Yes, she is still there. You know, and earlier today we'd been talking about how the history of Central encompasses Deadwood, Miller House, Circle, and Circle Hot Springs.
And everything between.
Everything between. Yes, I get this magazine because of the work you did with me when we did the, we created that computer program.
Oh, yeah.
On the History of Central. So I still get the Humanities Forum.
Oh, so maybe you have this one, and I think Pat's picture is in it.
Jane collects everything.
Who does?
You do. Oh. I have found some of your files that have newspaper articles, magazine articles.
I haven't kept it regularly lately, but, for instance, the death of your son, I copied all that out, or cut it out of the paper, you know, and then went up there, and by the way, I never sent you how sorry I was for that. But anyway, I don't know who will want all this stuff. I don't know.
I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, but then they...
But I have files now, too, that I keep copies of all.
You're a filer.
Yep. So that's one thing you taught me to do, is keep files on everything.
So you can throw them out later.
Okay. Or when I die, somebody will come across them and throw them out.
let's see. Here were the grants that were granted last year. And I thought Bill Schneider was in on that.
Mm-hmm.
He travels a little bit nowadays, you know. He's South African.
Mm-hmm. He's actually going to see Mary Warren today.
Oh, really?
So I know where he is today.
But they sold their house, didn't they? Warren's.
They sold their central house, yes. Yes.
Well, but they still have the...
They have a place in North Pole.
Oh, yes, but they're right. Not in Circle.
No. No, they've left the Central Circle area.
Now, here's one. They got 5,000, almost 5,000. Stories from the Eagle Flood. Things, you know, that are just really interesting. But these are from the foundation grant, not the Rasmussen. Trying to find if
from the 2009 flood.
I don't know. I don't know. I must have been.
That must be.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Because it wiped out a lot of Eagle.
Oh yeah. Some of it was rebuilt, they mm-hmm. say. But the Mennonite. There's a religious sect. Mm-hmm. Mennonites, and they have a section of them that go to, you know, disaster areas and help.
When you have found that Central has flooded during some of the big things, have people worked together to clean it up?
No, usually you had to clean up your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about the museum? There's some talk about the toys. Didn't you do a metal toy display
yeah.
that the metal toys were covered in mud?
Oh.
I think Julie Cooper was cleaning them up one time.
Really?
So you don't remember that particular flood?
Well, that was, I don't know, because the last time I was out there, I was still... collecting stuff and putting it from the grandchildren, you
mm-hmm.
know, putting it in there. But maybe it was another flood. I wanted them, when they built that museum, to raise it another 12 inches. But you know, I wasn't the architect.
Mm-hmm.
We were glad to get anything. How about a little hot coffee?
Oh, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
How about you?
No, thanks. Something else I was interested in was if you've noticed any changes in temperatures out there from the time that you were living there, or rainfall.
Okay,
or...
as to temperatures, we lived 2 years before we started teaching in the winters out there, and they were very cold. I mean, you minus 50 is really hard on people. And then when the children were little, and I was left alone in the house, and my husband was flying an airplane that cracked up down at the Delta and of the Yukon, and he was gone for a month, and. That when we bought this place, there was a garage that had been started, and it was never completed. It was behind the house. And just in passing, one time Red said, "If you ever get hard up for wood, just cut that old garage down." So the domes Have you come across the mm-hmm. Doanes? Because she was postmaster and he was working on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pictures I sent to the highway was Doane's picture. Is in that he was a big, tall guy, and
Reggie.
She,
was his name Reggie?
Reg.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Reggie Doane, and she was Bessie. And it's a funny trail, but Bessie was our neighbor, you know, our closest neighbor. And it was so cold, and I was bringing in as much wood as I could, and yet you had to keep it pretty hot, and you don't want it that hot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd put the kids to bed, and I'd go down in the basement where the big furnace was, and I was so afraid that something would catch fire, so I just stayed down in the basement and fed the fire when I thought I should to keep the kids warm upstairs. But all the kids, they went to bed with their everything on except their shoes and the overcoat, I mean the mm-hmm. warm coat. And the old fellow that lived next door, Johnny Lake, Johnny Lake would have taken us in at any time. And he was a neighbor friend.
How old were your kids at the time?
Well, they were all under school age, yeah.
And how many of them were there?
Well, probably four, because I went out, I went outside and had Janie, and then the last, yeah, may have been three. But that was a cold, cold winter. And that was the coldest winter we ever, the other winter we stayed wasn't that cold. But Millers were living at that time, both Graziella and Mr. Miller. And he said, well, you ought to live up here at Miller House. We're, you know, we get 10, 15 degrees difference than what you do down, just like here. We get an inversion, at least 10 or 15 degrees better than the town. Well, let's see, I've diverted.
But you mentioned two things I wanted to ask you about. Where was Johnny Lake buried?
He is buried in the central.
Okay, he is in the central.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I know what he was buried in and who did it. I mean, who did this? He was an old fella, and it was cold, and he couldn't get his fire started. And he went to the winter. This is because we found these bones. He went to the place, and he had some kerosene, and he threw that in, and he knew it would start, but it was a blast. And he was, here's the other wall, the opposite, and he was blasted against that wall, and that's where we found his bones burned. And I don't know, that must have been a cold winter, too.
Mm-hmm. So it was not a winter you were living there?
We were living there, and so it was one of those winters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know...
Oh, well, I wanted to tell you about his... Johnny Lake and Julie's husband...
Tom. Kennedy.
Kennedy. Were great friends. They went at least one time that I know of went trapping together,
mm-hmm.
and so when Johnny burned out there, Kennedy took charge. Then he built him a little box like this, where his bones would fit, like a little casket.
Mm-hmm.
And took him up to the central place, and he is buried there, I know for sure. And that the signs there are getting...
Right, and he's not listed on the list of people that were that buried there. So I wanted to be... That was made by Connie Jeglom. So I wanted to be sure to add him to the list.
Okay, add him to the list, but don't forget Ruth Olson made a list too, because her baby brother was buried there.
Right. And how about Joseph Nadeau? Do you know who he was? I came across a poem that you had saved in one of your files that was written by the Bard of Central.
Oh, that was Joe Ulmer.
Okay, so that's who wrote it. Okay, he called himself the Bard of Central then.
Oh, yeah, he was quite a guy.
Anyway, it's signed J.D.
Well, he could have messed up the U because his name was Ulmer.
Right.
Joe Ulmer.
Okay. Well, so in there is written Johnny Lake and Joe. It's written in memory of Johnny Lake and Joseph Nadeau. And I don't know who Joseph Nadeau is.
The name does not strike.
Does not ring a bell.
But you know, there's a census. The census records are in the museum.
This would have been probably in, it must be in the 50s, if that's when Johnny Lake died.
Well, yeah, we didn't start teaching until 56 or 7, and then we went to Fort Yukon, and both of us taught. Well, we were called a teaching team, you know.
Right, so Johnny Lake would have been buried then, like 1955?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's well within our memory.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see what I can find.
But it could be that we were not there, and this is what they told us that happened to Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the property that Johnny Lake had, and now the Jeglums have, you know, they have the garage that Johnny Lake, the workshop that Johnny Lake had. The Jeglums bought that from us. But the woodcutter from Circle, sort of a rotund sort of fellow, he owned the whole thing. And when we asked him, what about this property and so forth, the property was we had bought the property, you know, but the house was there, and the fellow said, all I want is the windows, and he came and took any window that was available. But the garage that the Jeglums lived in the summer, I don't know whether they're going to come out to Central this summer or not. They're in town, I think.
The older, I don't know which generation you're talking about, but
the one that wrote the wife.
Okay, they are coming out this summer. They have since moved to Arizona or California. Okay.
Yeah.
But they are coming late in August.
Oh, are they?
And so I'm hoping to be there when they're there in Central. So.
They're post Johnny Lake, you know, they really made a wonderful little place there.
And then their son, Reed, talks about growing up there.
Yeah.
Right.
I imagined. Because if they ever want to sell, we will buy back the property. We gave them an acre, I think, sold them an acre and the garage.
She's talking about a piece of property that's directly across the street
from the
Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
So it's a little, small little cabin in there, that cute little place.
Yeah, anyway, that's it.
And then your family has a garden there still. Does your daughter make a garden up there? Who makes the garden?
Yeah, well, it got too much. You know, my husband was quite ill the last 5-6 years of his life with cancer and radiation and all that junk. And anyway, it got too much for him to keep up both places. So we sort of semi-sold to Rourke, the two boys, Rourke and Gene. Mm-hmm. And Gene we sold to the big house, and Rourke the what we call the old hostel. And he's putting on a new, this year he's putting on a new bedroom, and he lets the hikers on that chicken to Circle Hot Springs trail stay there after they come in. But the children love it, and his grandkids and come out there.
I had forgotten about that Chicken to Circle Hot Springs trail. That goes on every year, doesn't it?
There's a little bit of objection to it. It's an unmarked trail, and Red has flown and checked sort of checkpoints, but this year there was a big fog where the start was. Now, I don't know where they started, Chicken or Chena Hot Springs, maybe Chena.
Angel Creek or something.
Something.
Like that,
and
yeah.
They, my son Rourke and his grandson, Storm, took that. First 2 days they got lost and they couldn't find points. And then the fog cleared, but they were last in on the race. But they didn't care, so, you know, it was quite an experience for them.
But from what I understand, they go down Birch Creek, or they can get there anyway they can.
Yeah,
you know, it's up to them how they get there. But some people go down Birch Creek and hike over the hill, and others bike, and, I mean, they do all kinds
they
of stuff.
They carry their own little inflatable and stuff.
Right.
But it may become, you know, there are more and more races all the time. Do you have a lot of races in your country, Finland?
Yeah, I guess so.
Boy, this year everybody was racing. Race here, race there. Just donate a few dollars to the cause.
Oh, to the cause, right.
Who's home at your place? Is Wes the younger?
My youngest son graduated from high school this year, I am retired. I don't have to homeschool any longer. And
and your husband's still with the road?
No, he retired in November 1st. So we both retired within a year, and now we're probably going further out, further away for at least a few years. So that's why I'm kind of in a hurry to get what I can done by August.
What you can do in 2 years, say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that time left, you know, that's terrific.
How about trails in the area outside of the Circle Trail? Are there other trails that you remember? You described one road that was behind your property there.
Yes, and that went to Birch Creek. I mean, you had to sort of cross the one end of the airport, and then Red and I flew it, and I took a picture of it, and then it went to Birch Creek, and that was an established trail before there was any surveying or any other trail, which is now the Steese Highway.
Mm-hmm.
That was one, and just listen.
Right, we'll press stop here. Okay, well, this started a new file, so I'll just say again, this is Laurel Tyrell with Jane Williams and Varpu, and this is the 15th of July, 2010, and we're talking about Central and Circle Hot Springs. So we were discussing trails when the phone rang, and you were thinking about other trails in the area. There was a trail that used to go to, you know, that became the Stees that went to Miller House. But were there other trails that did not become a highway?
I have to think. Well, of course, from Central to the Hot Springs must have been an early trail.
Mm-hmm.
I would say around, because have you gotten a date? Let's see. I have pictures of the old roadhouse, and then it burned down, and they built another one in 1927. And so, but the road was really rough, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there must have been a trail before that. And there were trails up to Haugham Junction, and all the...
Did Haugham Junction become Deadwood?
Yeah, it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the transaction there was at all.
Well, what do you think about the future of Central?
Well, I hope it goes. It's a beautiful little place.
Yeah, and we've got problems with the hot springs. You know, you already mentioned how it used to affect your...
Oh, sure, the commerce and the people working there and everything. It was an interesting place, and we didn't have the transportation or good Stees Highway, so all the miners would come into Circle Hot Springs and spend the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was great. But that Bobby Miller, he's something else. I want the state to buy it and tear the whole thing down and make a recreational area. I mean, it's a resource, and it was patented before the law went in that you couldn't patent a resource. So it's legal, but at this point, you know, they can't do much about it.
Right, it's one of the last privately owned hot springs in the country.
Yeah. I think somebody bought the land around Tullahoma and Manly. You know,
mm-hmm.
they homesteaded early too. And
Chena Hot Springs.
Yeah. So there was a group of hot springs, there's a circle, that were taken up not by the present owners, but owners before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time to talk with us today. And do you have any other stories that you wanted to tell before we...
Well, I just wanted to... you know, since Dorothy died and before that, when she was, her eyes went bad, we tried to find someone to take our material and write the Circle City Fairbanks saga. And I approached the Coles, Dermot writes for the paper, and his twin is head of the history department, I think. Oh, what's his name? Dermot?
Terrence Cole.
What's that?
Terrence Cole.
Terrence,
something.
Right.
Right.
And I said, he has a requirement for his class on Alaska history, and it's to write a historical perspective of something about, you know, the area. And I said, don't you have someone that could get a master's because of the amount of material? And then Ron Inouye, who is right now temporary president of the local historical society, always always mentions this Rose Écuyer, who did the book that Earl Beislein, I think, paid for the book, but was from a diary of somebody that came up the Yukon, landed at Circle, and it was, have you read that? And they went to the Eagle, you know, where you go down to a camp.
Are you talking about Girl in a Gold Camp?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I think that was done by...
That was put together by this Rose Écuyer. And then she's good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And she has done a couple others. And I the first time I met her lately has been over a year ago. And Ron always says, get Rose Écuyer to write this. But would you have any interest in writing? It's another whole subject almost, the Circle City Fairbanks Trail.
Yes, we are very interested in those kinds of things, but mostly the scope of what I'm doing is looking at other people's research already instead of conducting the research myself.
Okay.
But that is something very interesting to us. And
well, listen, stop there and come on down and I'll show you my...
Your files?
Yeah, what I've stopped. You know, it's in the basement, and everything goes to the basement, you know.